Hello, Red Wave. Welcome to Beware of Bulldogs, the show where we talk Fresno State athletics. We are your hosts, Caleb and Caleb. That's right. Mr. Pletz, thank you for joining me, as always, on a beautiful Monday, I would say night. We go live at 7 p.m., but it's bright outside. The sun's still up. It's been great weather the past couple days, Caleb. How you been, man? How's you still surviving the babies? You keeping you up all night?
Yeah, doing well overall. Last night was one of our first like really tough nights where neither my wife nor I got much sleep. So fighting through it, but that's all part of the process. And still love my son, so that's good. But yeah, overall doing well. And we got a packed show tonight. You know, we've kind of been grinding through some of these weeks in the post football. Obviously, we care about the bat and ball sports and water polo and golf. But to have a pretty good chunk of football towards the end of the show, so make sure everyone stick around. It feels good to be back in that kind of rhythm.
Yeah, I'm excited for today. We have baseball, we got softball, got to talk water polo, golf, basketball portal, and then a whole slew of football stuff. We got to talk spring preview, what happened at the draft and after the draft for Fresno State guys. So we'll talk about that and then some portal things as well for football. So we'll end with football. So stick around for that. We go live. If you're not tuning in live right now, we go live Monday night, 7 p.m. or close to it. We are, this was later than usual, Kale. We're about 10 minutes late on tonight, but we go live on YouTube and X. We're on X, Beware_Bulldogs. We're on YouTube, Beware of Bulldogs. Follow, subscribe, hit that notification bell so you get the notifications when we go live. And then comment if you're in the chat right now or a couple days later. Comment down below. It really helps us out in the algorithm. As far as I know, that's what I've been told. I don't know. But we also like to interact with you guys and see how the Red Wave is feeling about all these things. So ask questions, interact with other Red Wave fans, not just us. We'd love to see it. If you're here live, and when you get here, let us know where you're watching the show from, what beverage you're enjoying at the time. I got a Givoli Pinot Noir. Caleb, I'm enjoying that. I know your wife can now enjoy alcohol and a glass of red wine now, so I'm sure she's happy about that. And then you have to as well to just, you know, because you got a baby screaming around now. So it helps things. It helps a lot. Sure. Yeah. All right, Kim, let's talk baseball first. Dogs started out the week. I'm going to go way back, almost a week ago now. Tomorrow will be a week ago. They played Northridge, and it was bad. 15-2 loss to Northridge, but then they come back and play Washington State later in the week, just this past weekend. And going into that weekend, Caleb, a lot of people were nervous because we're on a losing streak. We get smoked by Northridge. Granted, it's a Tuesday game, but we only score two runs. What everyone's asking the question, what's going on? We asked it that night before what was going on, and we said, we're going to be okay, and then that happens. We get just demolished by Northridge. Well, we end the losing streak, I believe, that Friday night. Mm-hmm. Against Washington State, and we go on to take 2 out of 3 against Washington State, one being a comeback win, thanks to Washington State, a couple of errors there. But I think people are starting to feel a little bit better about the team. I will say this. You didn't hear anything bad about the team after this weekend like you were hearing on the losing streak. But, Kill, talk first about the game and – you know, drop some numbers if you want during that weekend against Washington State. But then also move into moving forward and what we can expect or what you think we will see moving forward with this team as they bounce around.
Sure.
Going up and down.
So, yeah, losing at home midweek to Northridge, who's a sub-500 team. I mean, they're competitive, but to get beaten that badly at home is it's a tough pill to swallow. And I'm sure, the team did not you know, like that whooping that they took. So a big weekend series against Washington State, future conference opponent for baseball. They were announced earlier that they are going to be joining as a baseball member starting next season. So good little preview. And, you know, just watching on the Pac-12 plus, I think is what they called it. Washington State has a nice stadium. So, you know, that looked good. All turf, though. I'm not a big fan of the, like, mostly turf or all turf field. But I guess if it's, you know,
moves on that, bounces fast. Oh, ball bounces fast on turf.
Exactly. So not a huge fan of that, but you know, the stadium looked nice. So that was good. But Friday night, Dogs get a big bounce back win. I think it was a 6-game skid coming in, and a big comeback win in the ninth inning, like you had mentioned. And so I know that was big for the Dogs to get back, and especially for Jake Dixon. I mean, a much stronger outing this time. You know, he went 5 1/3, only gave up 3 runs. So definitely did a lot more to keep the Dogs in the game. And just some crucial late inning, you know, solid baseball. So one of the guys I want to make sure we highlight this weekend is Ben Newton. So I feel like he's been one of the unsung heroes of this team. And he's third in the nation for doubles with 21. So, he just a double machine so far. I think that they've played like 40 or so games. So it's like every other game he's hitting a double. And he's just, you know, one of those experienced guys. And, you know, he's hitting in the middle of the lineup, but he very well could be hitting leadoff. I mean, he's that kind of player where, you know, he is patient and is able to work a count. And so to be able to have that guy hitting, you know, in kind of the fifth or sixth spot is, I think, is a huge asset. So I did want to make sure we highlight Newton because he had a really strong weekend. And, you know, especially on Friday night, he had the ground out. But several doubles over the weekend, and it was good to see Murph Gray come through with, you know, putting the ball in play that ended up giving the Dogs the victory. I know they credited the third baseman with an error, but I mean, he hit a rocket at the third baseman and they got through the left field. So big bounce back game for Jake Dixon and the Dogs to have a comeback in the ninth inning.
Yeah, it's nice to see the comeback. Just to see that, you know, the guys have struggled past couple games, past couple weeks. They get down and they're still there fighting. I mean, these guys want to win, and that's huge. So I'm excited to see that. And I agree. I think the big takeaway for me, Caleb, was the pitchers bounce back, you know, especially Dixon. So I'm excited about that pitching staff getting back on track. I think Anchor is going to be out. As we thought he would be back this weekend, not going to be, he's probably not going to come back till Mountain West playoffs, conference tournament, I should say. So let's get to, Andy is here. He's watching NHL playoffs. Not going to lie, I was watching NHL playoffs as well before I hopped on here with drinking a nice cold one. Bulldogs Bob's here. He said, before we do anything else, we need to congratulate Water Polo. Yes, congratulations, Water Polo. We will get there. and he says about the baseball team, taking 2 out of 3 is always what he wants. He's happy for Dixon and Vic Arriola to regain their form as well. Yeah, they both struggled against San Jose, which was a rough one. You know, I heard a lot of rumors that the ball was coming off the bat, kind of funny. The San Jose State players' bats, I should say. So, anyways, once again, we left too many men on base in Game 3. Main issue. Yeah, we've seen it multiple games now where we leave guys on base and we have the opportunity to put a lot of runs on the board like we know we can and we just don't. I agree, Bob. Anything else, Caleb, on baseball? Well, actually, let me ask you this. Moving forward, with the Dogs, you know, coming up close to the end of the season, we want to see them playing their best baseball. What do you think needs to happen? And then also, who do we have coming up?
Yeah, well, we can back up a little bit. We can kind of touch on Saturday and Sunday real quick because we do need to highlight Jacob Acosta coming out of the bullpen on Saturday and throwing 5 innings in relief, only giving up a run after Noah Beal had gone 4 innings, only gave up 1. So between the two of them, only given up two, and the Dogs had plenty of offense on Saturday. Highlighted by Ben Newton, 4 for 5, huge day. Let's see, Tommy was also 4 for 5. Justin Stransky, 3 for 3. So, you know, a big offensive day, and you know, to get that kind of performance from Jacob Acosta, I mean, that's important, because if this team does get to postseason play, you're going to have a fourth starter. So, especially if, you know, Anchor coming back is questionable, who's coming after Jake Riding as, you know, the number three and beyond starter. So I think Acosta put a good performance out there and say, hey, I can go and contribute, and throw some long innings there. So very strong performance there. Sunday was disappointing, man. Another strong performance from Jake Riding, and he's just becoming a really solid guy on Sunday. So tough. He got saddled with the loss. Cremarosa, gave up 3 runs. A couple of those came on an error by Saldivar late, which was tough. And without that error, the Rocco Pepi 3-run bomb in the top of the ninth could have been the difference for the Dogs. But tough game for the Dogs. But I mean, they're fighting well. I mean, like you mentioned, much stronger pitching performance. Needed a little bit more offense on Sunday. I mean, when you got 0 runs on the board going into the ninth inning, that's not a good recipe. But Pepi hit a blast, man. I mean, if that guy gets a first pitch like meatball down the middle, that thing's gone. I mean, he doesn't. He pretty much always swings at the first pitch. So if it's anywhere near his zone, he's gonna crush it.
Which he should. If it's anywhere close on that first pitch, please. Growing up, I was told don't swing at the first pitch. I'm telling you, swing at the first pitch. It's most likely going to be a strike. They're trying to get ahead. Unless they know you will. So Rocco's been on fire. Bob, here you go, Caleb. This is exactly what I was talking about. Bob says he heard from a player at the preview that they think the Spartans had their bats juiced. I heard that from multiple people. And from what I saw, would not be surprised. One of those, I went to the Saturday game. I mean, most of the balls that were hit left the yard. Mm-hmm. Granted, Rocco Pepi, I mean, if we check San Jose State's bats, we might have to check Rocco's bat, because that thing has been on fire. And that Saturday, I think he hit 2 bombs.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyways.
All right. So what's up next for the Diamond Dogs? Every conference series is important, but midweek tune-up tomorrow or today, if you're listening to this on the April 30th, against Cal Poly at home. So tough matchup for the Dogs, and I'd really like to see a stronger performance. And I'm going to say, like, giving up less than 9 runs. I'm okay with giving up 1 run per inning in these midweek games, which might sound like maybe I need to set a higher expectation. But for some of the big numbers that the Dogs have given up on Tuesday, I think that should be doable for the Dogs. And then immediately following, heading down to San Diego State to take on the Aztecs, who are struggling this year. I mean, they're the cellar dwellers, which is really uncharacteristic for a typically really strong San Diego State team. But, they have a new coaching staff this year, and I'm sure they had a lot of player turnover. So they're on a 9-game losing streak right now. They're 5-16 in conference. So that's a big opportunity for Fresno State to solidify the conference lead. So right now, Dogs, I think, are 2 games up, sitting in first place. So when you're going against the bottom of the conference, they just need to put the pounding to them.
Mm-hmm. Oh, but we got to keep playing. Keep playing well. Keep the bats going. I agree with you, Caleb. One of those things that I want to see on Tuesday is I want to see our bats come alive. We've struggled on Tuesdays on both ends, pitching and at the plate. But I'd like to see solid performance on a Tuesday. We know they can do it. Let's put something together. Softball over the weekend played Colorado State. They took 2 out of 3. The first game, Taylor got the win. I believe that's her 18th win of the season. She's 18-3 overall. Wow. Sarah got her 5th save of the season. Yeah, Taylor been on fire recently. She went four innings, gave up five hits, one earned, had three strikeouts, and then Sarah had a three-inning save. At the plate, Juliana Wilson hit a home run there. And I believe over the even after the weekend, forgive me, I'm forgetting the name. It might be Emma Martinez. It's either Emma Martinez or Alyssa Ramirez. Is on a six-game hitting streak. On Saturday, I believe they took the win again. They won 5-2, and this time Sarah got the win, and Taylor finished out the game. But Sarah went five innings. They ended up losing their last game. I believe it was like 11-1, so not that great. But they have one more series against New Mexico before the Mountain West Conference Tournament. We currently sit in third place. I think we're 2.5-3 games behind. And we should – I mean, New Mexico's down at the bottom there. I don't know if you have it in front of you, Caleb, but we have a good shot at this, and I believe we struggle against San Diego State, who's in first, but the girls are playing good softball right now as they get ready for the conference tournament. So I'm excited for this team. They have a good shot.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if you're looking at the overall records for this for the conference, you know, Fresno State that's sitting at 32-16. That's really strong performance right now. But towards the end of the season, that's most important is just getting hot at the right time. So getting good pitching performances through the conference tournament, and kind of got to get lucky too, especially with going up against tough competition. I know San Diego State's the team to beat in the conference. So getting a good draw, making sure winning the early games and not having to you know, fight behind. I'm assuming it's a double elimination. I'll be honest. I don't know if it is or isn't, but just got to make sure that we're winning early, and yeah, going to have to fight and get hot.
Yeah. Which, you know, this has been a very successful softball season, because I know here's the thing, Caleb, and I may make some people mad when I say this, but softball is a big sport in Fresno State, in Fresno. Not as big as baseball, but it's big. And when they weren't performing well, we heard it. We heard a lot. Well, the girls are performing now. And now I think it's time for the Red Wave to get behind them and, you know, check out what's going on, because we got a good team. Get behind Coach Stacey Mae Johnson. They're playing well. So this is what the Red Wave wanted. They're here. Now it's time to get behind them and support. And I believe they had not last week, 2 weekends ago, Bark in the Park, which I heard that was a great success. And yeah, so it's time to get behind this softball team. All right. Next on the docket, Caleb, I just want to throw in golf really quick. Men's golf, Mountain West Championship. Matt Sutherland finished third, tied for third. And then the team finished in fifth, I believe. So Sutherland, we got to meet him and talk to him at a Crone Wolf. And great guy. And he had a great great season. I didn't, not what he wanted, but he finished strong. So Matt Sutherland, congrats to you, man. Tied for third in the Mountain West Championship. All right, Caleb. The big news on campus is water polo right now. Probably, I'm not gonna say probably the best team on campus right now. No one can deny it. They won the GCC conference tournament. They played Loyola Marymount in the championship, went to overtime, and won 13-12 to solidify a spot. They got automatic qualifier. And they now, and selection was today at 5. They now play Cal, who was ranked the number 3 team in the tournament. And they're not in the play-in game. So I believe a couple of years ago they were in the play-in game. Now they go straight into the quarterfinals. There's 9 teams that play. that get into the tournament. So they play Cal, who's a 3 seed, and Cal is hosting, of course.
Wow, that's convenient.
Yeah. That's Fresno State luck for you. So we get Cal. We have played them twice this year. We are 0-2 against them. We lost 9-5 and 10-6. But I want to go back to the GCC tournament. We beat LMU 13-12 in overtime. Brooke Ochoa was named MVP with 10 goals and 4 assists over the weekend. So congratulations to Brooke. Go kick butt against Cal. I do not like Cal at all. I don't like most teams, but I don't like Cal. I would love to beat Cal. And then if we beat Cal, we win one game, we're in the semis, which would be a big win. And I believe we would play the winner of Hawaii versus Princeton. I believe it's Princeton. I could be wrong on that, but I believe it's Hawaii-Princeton. But we got to worry about Cal first. Also, that win over LMU was Coach Benson's 100th career win. So congrats to Coach Benson as well. We had her on a couple years ago, and she's awesome. I can, if anyone meets her, you know exactly why this program is successful and is ran the way it is. And the girls love her. She's legit. So congrats to the whole water polo program and Coach Benson. 100 career wins. Let's go get 101 and let's beat Cal and go win a national championship. I'm all about it. It's hard to beat a team 3 times. So we have that going for us. I'm really excited for this water polo team.
Exactly. Yeah, it's good that we have some scouting reports on Cal, so we know what to expect. And Loyola Marymount was who we lost to earlier in the season, right? So we kind of got some revenge on Loyola Marymount already. So I think things are lining up to be a pretty good shape for the Dogs and shorter trip. I mean, you know, looking ahead a little bit, Hawaii, that's a long trip. Princeton, that's a long trip to Cal. So I think the Dogs should be in good shape here to maybe make something special happen.
I'm all about it. All right, before we get to football, let's touch on the basketball portal real quick. Earlier this week, Amar, and I'm going to butcher the last name. I'm sorry, man. Aguilard committed to Fresno State. He is the 2024 JUCO Player of the Year, and he chose Fresno. So that's huge. He's a pretty good 3-point shooter. If you go watch his highlights, it's about all they show. Him just jacking up threes from about everywhere on the court and them going in. It's a lot of fun to watch. But he's an athlete. He's got a couple highlights of him driving to the rim, dunking, throwing it down. So kid can play. I'm excited about him. So that's 2 commits, Caleb. Very athletic. I believe, I forget the name of our first commit.
Crawford.
It was Alex. Yeah. So with both of them coming in, you could it's just a different style of basketball that that Wahlberg's bringing in, a different kind of player. And we did see Yap commit to San Jose State. Ducell commit to Nevada, and Leo committed to Queens University. So those guys looks like most of them are not coming back. Whole new brand of basketball, a bunch of new guys, and we're going to support them. And all the guys that we spoke to on this last year's team, I support them too. But you know, we're talking Dogs here. So I'm really excited for these two guys and this whole brand of basketball that we're going to be playing. I know all you guys know that because I'm a basketball guy. But hey, you have any thoughts on that, Caleb?
I mean, the biggest stat that stuck out to me about Amar, he shot 42% from 3-pointer. So it's not just that he gets them up, but he also makes them, you know, 42% of the time, which I believe is a pretty good shooting percentage. So that I'm excited about. And just that, yeah, it seems like a bigger, kind of more athletic, more physical type of player so far with these first two guys. So I think it's exciting to kind of have something different to look forward to. I know I'm sure we've kind of worked this point a lot, but just to have a fresh perspective and fresh outlook in terms of coaching and style is going to be refreshing for the Red Wave. So looking forward to it. And, you know, obviously they still have a lot more spots that they have to fill up. So hopefully the coaching staff keeps working. I think we read Jackson reporter. It was either Jackson or Gabe that, this past weekend they were hosting a lot of recruits at the boxing match over the weekend. So hopefully we get more good news, and I'm sure it's going to take a couple more weeks to, actually round out the roster and actually see who sticks around from, the reserves that haven't portaled yet. So we'll see if Wahlberg's going to be able to make use of them, or if they find other homes.
Oh man, if they find other homes, that means he's going to need like 10 more guys from the portal. So he's got quite the task in front of him. I did see they did honor Wahlberg at that, or he presented something at that boxing match. And I saw a bunch of people post about this boxing match. Mm-hmm. So, good event to be at. And it's nice to see. And the reason I bring up Wahlberg and them having him present something is, it's nice to see coaches getting involved in other things, because I know it's almost impossible nowadays as a D1 coach. You don't have enough time. You can't. You got to recruit. You're on visits. You're working NIL. It's ridiculous. So it's nice to see him taking the time to do that, in which we've advocated for that general manager position on this show before. So maybe he's doing that, which I don't blame him. All right, let's talk about this past weekend and football. Spring preview happened and the NFL draft as well. I want to start with the spring preview, Caleb. Give me your initial thoughts from the spring preview.
All right, initial thoughts. You and I were both not there. I did have a good source inside the stadium reporting back to me. So this is an informed take here. Offense was very bland. I don't know if it's concerning or not, but they didn't show anything. Mikey didn't attempt any deep balls. I mean, it was, runs and quick passes. The defense looked pretty good. The defensive backs were hitting. Corey Foreman was disruptive on the defensive line, which can be good or could also be bad. Maybe our O-line is very porous. I don't know. But the fact that we're getting some new pressure from a portal addition that we have high hopes for is very encouraging. So overarching, those are kind of the biggest takeaways there. Was defense looking strong, and also kind of defensive personnel that was running with the ones. So we had Tua Sivinomura stepping in and at linebacker with Malachi. So those guys were running with the ones. We had Phoenix Jackson and Tim Thomas running with the twos. I know I really like Phoenix Jackson, and I know there's a lot of substitutions typically, depending on personnel. So I'd expect those guys to get worked into.
They're both going to play.
Exactly. Yeah. So, and then a little bit of changes on the defensive backfield. Obviously, Dogs are still pretty thin at corner. Cam is working back, which is good. Good to have him back, because he's a really strong player. But, we saw Cam Braca, I guess I should use last names, Lockridge, working his way back from injury. And we saw Cam Braca getting some playing time at nickel. So who knows if that contributed to the portal exit that maybe we'll touch on in a little bit. But seeing him getting some reps at nickel with Kosi Aguina and Dean Clark both playing the two safety positions. So that was kind of an interesting little wrinkle to see, who steps up and takes, some of the openings on the defensive backfield.
I like Braca at nickel. That the few conversations, because there were just a few, and let me preface my monologue. This won't be long. About spring previews, it's a lose-lose, especially when you're playing against your own team. It's a lose-lose. If the offense does well, you're worried about the defense. If the defense does well, you're worried about the offense. The nice thing about Fresno State spring preview is we already had the expectation of we're not strong up front on offense. So if things go the way which they did, then, you know, we kind of know, like, we need work on at the offensive line. But with Corey Foreman kicking butt, and I wasn't there, but I read about it, and I, like you, had sources there that were saying he's the real deal. Bob's in the chat here saying Foreman looks like the real deal. He kicked ass all game long. You know, when the same thing keeps getting said over and over again, I tend to believe that. So I'm believing you guys that Corey Foreman just is the real deal, and our offensive line at the same time, because two things can be true at once, is they struggled. So I believe that. And now, Kale, the other thing I think that some people should know is no turnovers by the offense and no touchdowns by the first team offense. Mm-hmm. The only touchdown was, I believe, I read Mandel had a run that probably would have went all the way, but they didn't finish the play. And then he handed the ball to Gilliam and he ran it in for the touchdown. So that was the scoring play. Dylan Lynch looked good kicking field goals, kicked a lot of field goals. Everyone here, I think, agrees Dylan Lynch is a solid kicker. We like Dylan. Mm-hmm. But to be honest, Caleb, I can't lie. I'm a little nervous about what's going on offensively. Like I can't say matter-of-factly because I wasn't there, but if it's because of the O-line, once again, it's going to be a long season. If it's because of keen decision-making, though, or not being able to get the ball there, I think there's a good chance that we see Mandel, because I think Bob says right here, Mandel looked really good. If Keen gets hurt or has to come out, he says, I don't think the offense loses a step. So we're going to be fine either way. So, it's a lose-lose in the spring preview. So take it however you want. But I am a little bit worried about this offense. Also, I don't think Malik Sherrod took any snaps. It was just Gilliam and Arsenault.
Right. Yeah. Those two guys were kind of sharing the first team reps. Sherrod didn't participate. And then also Devin Rivers, I believe, didn't take any snaps there. So kind of interesting personnel wise. I think Ryan Workington was one of the guys, and Justin Gwynn, probably saying that wrong, G-U-I-N. Those were the two guys, I think, running with the twos primarily. So, but Arsenault looked good. Gilliam looked like Gilliam. I mean, he's gonna run hard. So, yeah, there's just, like we've said, there's just so many guys in there fighting for the opportunity. And something's got to give, because Malik has certainly paid his dues and showed what he's capable of last year when he goes full beast mode. And it's really going to depend on how well the play calling is able to overcome the offensive line. Because even though there's possibly some reinforcements coming in with, you know, potential transfer portal targets, I don't think it's going to be enough to really make a huge improvement on last year's offensive line. So if the Dogs are able to run successfully and, you know, short, quick passes, you know, easy decisions for Mikey that the guys can get open and, not create turnovers, then, yeah, I think we can be successful. But if, you know, we get in long yardage situations, we're taking sacks, tackles for loss, I am definitely worried about the offense and having to perform in those situations.
Bulldogs Bob and Chris Lake, I'll start with Chris. He talks about the D-line. He's hoping that the D-line is strong and makes it impossible for opposing offenses to keep up. I think it's very possible. And he also adds that offenses are always behind in the beginning, which is a good point. We're still learning timing and things like that. And the O-line, as Bob adds, they were rotating O-linemen. So nothing set. They're still figuring it out. If we get transfers coming in, which I'm going to share a name right now because a picture went out about an hour ago, about a Fresno State, like right when we hit record, it came up. So I'll share that. Things are going to change. Nothing is set. on the O-line. But Bob isn't too worried about it because he says they ran basic stuff. And he adds, throws in a name, we won't miss Trey Watson. I've only heard good things about our tight end room. And I will say this, Bob, I don't think we threw the ball to Trey enough to miss him.
Good point. I mean, that's something we were advocating for the whole year last year. But it seems like Beecham is going to be very comparable in terms of his skill set and ability. And I think behind him, you know, there's a lot of guys that are banged up. I think the room's pretty thin right now. But as long as they're getting back healthy, then the Dogs still should be in good shape. So we certainly wish Trey well. Hopefully he got paid going to Texas A&M, or at least paid better than here. But that is a tough sentence, though, that, yeah, we probably will not miss him.
Overall, hard to say what exactly is going to happen. Everyone has their leanings, but it's going to be fun to talk about, and hopefully we get some guys out of the portal that are going to push guys ahead of them, or shoot, maybe start, and we stay healthy. That is one thing, and that's big, Caleb. No one was injured over the weekend. We left the same way. I believe we got better. We'll put it. We left the same way we came in, and I believe we got better. Chris also asked, what's the word on Carr at tight end? He had a strong spring last year. What's going on with David Carr's son at playing tight end?
He's still banged up. I know he had a surgery kind of in the middle of last season. So still on the mend. I mean, be great to see him get back in shape. I know he's, you know, a good size. I'm sure he'd probably need to put on a little bit of muscle, especially after rehabbing injury. So curious to see how long that rehab takes. But Dogs are needing depth right now in the tight end room, that's for sure.
I want to talk about transfer portal really quick, and then we'll talk about NFL draft. We had a commit, I believe it was over the weekend, a defensive tackle, Dejon Lafitte. Mm-hmm. 3-star USC transfer. He redshirted last year, so he didn't play. My first thought, Caleb, when I saw this was, well, it's a USC defensive player. I mean, I'm all for Power 5 guys coming here, and he didn't play. He redshirted, so we don't know what, as a fan, I don't know what I'm getting yet because I haven't seen D1 college football film from him. But I will say we lost some pieces at D tackle. This is a nice get. I'm happy with this.
Oh, sure. I'm sure he's very talented, which, you know, players that are going to Power 4 programs, they're going to be a certain caliber of potential. But, you know, is he going to buy into what Coach Jethro is, giving out to all the players? You know, we'll see. I think that's going to be the differentiator there. And we need the depth, like you mentioned. We've had a pretty decent track record with taking in, transfers from USC with, Foreman, Tuasivi, Nomura. I mean, Raymond Scott, he was, a decent player for us. So a decent little pipeline that hopefully, the Dogs can keep rolling. And if anything, just good to have healthy bodies because, I mean, towards the end of October, there's going to be guys that are banged up and, it's going to be about depth or who can step up next.
I think one of the smartest things that he can do is try and get an NIL deal with Wiener Schnitzel for the race. If his first name is pronounced Dejon, he needs to be on the mustard wiener.
the problem is then Yellow would have to win on the races because I mean it's pretty much a guaranteed that ketchup is going to win every race.
That's why it's here for Relish. Underdogs, baby. I'm all about the underdogs. Chip on our shoulder, baby. Well, now that they have actual students running, who knows what happens? It's not planned anymore. All right. I did want to add, I should get to the player about an hour ago that posted Michael Ina. Mm-hmm. Man, these last names are killing me today, bro. Offensive lineman, JUCO offensive lineman from Texas. He didn't say that he committed, but if you're on YouTube, I'm going to hold my phone up to the camera really quick. I want you to see this photo. It's actually quite silly and funny. I enjoyed it. That is him sitting with offensive line coach Matt Smith and another coach in Bulldog Stadium. And it just says it has the eye emoji, the eyes emoji. So that was posted. I'm assuming you don't take a photo with coaches like that and then not commit. I wouldn't. I'm assuming we got another offensive lineman coming in here. I don't know though, but we'll see. But I will add, leaving Fresno State, Jalen Williams. He has entered the transfer portal. You can never say leaving because they could come back. Mm-hmm. But entering the transfer portal is Jalen Williams. To be honest, Caleb, I don't know much about Jalen Williams. We haven't really seen him play much.
Yeah, I mean, he rotated in a little bit last year when Maurice, because he was nickelback for the Dawgs. So, I mean, Maurice didn't miss a ton of time, but there were a couple plays where he got banged up and then Williams would get a look. So that's why, you know, maybe with Braca possibly being the next nickel, maybe that's what kind of frustrated him and pushed him out. We'll see. But like you said, didn't really see enough from him to make an assessment of whether it's really going to hurt this team or not.
We'll see. Is it closed? Can they enter anymore? Is it?
I believe tomorrow is the last day. It's either tomorrow or Wednesday, so there's still a little bit of time.
And when it opened, we had the same conversation. Is it today? Is it tomorrow? One of those days. All right. I don't know if you guys saw this, but Hanford quarterback Daniel Gomez, who committed to Fresno State, has decommitted from Fresno State. Don't know what's going on there, but I thought it was going to be a fun get, local guy staying home. But he has decommitted from Fresno State. Let's get, before we move on to NFL draft, Caleb, let's get to the Red Wave. They were passing out buttons at the spring preview. Big house into the doghouse. Fans at the preview feel good about our chances at Michigan. And Bulldogs Bob adds that he misses the video wieners running the race on the video board. I think that needs to be a poll question next time, Caleb. Video wieners or student wieners?
Yeah,
and, very good. And question. Bud adds, yep, so true. D-line depth really hurt the team last year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, stacking up. Let's go. If I'm building a football team, Caleb, I'm building it up front on both offense and defense, and we have been struggling the past couple of years. I would say last year defensively and the past few years, as long as I can remember, offensively on the offensive line. So I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, not to bring up old wounds from last season, but when the defensive line is just getting gashed late in the season for, you know, 300 rushing yards in a game, the depth is so important. And, you know, you need to have guys that are able to step up and fill in, you know, to a close caliber of the starters.
All right, NFL draft happened over the weekend as well, Caleb. No one was drafted. No former Bulldog was drafted. Does that surprise you?
Not really. I think going into it, we really thought Carlton was probably the best shot at getting drafted. You know, he did get signed by the Seahawks, I believe. I know you have the full list here, but you know, not totally surprised. I think that, you know, our team was kind of a lot of underdogs, and they're going to have to grind their way through camp and earn it. And I think that, you know, they have the character to do that, because, I mean, most of the guys that come through our program, I mean, usually they're overlooked. They have to work hard. You know, maybe they, you know, went through JUCO or something to get here. So, you know, they're going to have to be able to fight and earn their way onto a team. So as long as they're getting some opportunities, then I think that's really all that they can ask for. Now they just got to go and compete.
I agree. Carlton was probably the only one that had a shot, and we said day three, it didn't happen, which is fine. Sign with the Seahawks. I'll go down the list. Johnny Hudson, D tackle, signed with the Steelers. By the way, I like the Steelers draft. Nick DeAmbra signed with the Broncos, along with Lavelle Bailey, signed with the Broncos. Mo signed with the Detroit Lions. I think that might be my favorite signing, but just because of who the Lions are and the culture they have and who Mo is, he's going to fit in there. And then probably the next one is Jalen Gill with the Chargers. They don't have any weapons. So Jalen Gill's got a nice shot at making the team. Jalen might be my pick for out of these guys to have the best shot at making the team. I would say Lavelle has a good shot as well. But any thoughts on this and any picks on who's to make a team? Hopefully they all make it.
Yeah, hopefully they all get a shot and maybe get picked up to a practice squad too. I probably am not as knowledgeable on the NFL depth charts as you are, but I do think that Lavelle has, you know, a special ability to compete and just find the ball and be a good tackler too. So I think that those are all things that hopefully can contribute. And Carlton too. I mean, I think that he's talented as a cover corner that I think that he can make a difference too. And I mean, I don't know who he's competing with ahead of him in terms of depth chart in Seattle, but you know, who knows? And former Fresno State offensive coordinator Ryan Grubb is now offensive coordinator in Seattle. So who knows if there was any connection there. Different side of the ball, I guess, but
yeah. See, he was tough to play against.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know. Bob adds, it was a failure by the scouts that Carlton Johnson was not drafted. And he says, there's no shame in being an undrafted free agent. He thought Ronnie, who just, you know, he got a nice contract this offseason, and he was one. He just signed with the Rams. So they did pick a running back, I believe. And then Chris just had to go there. Former Bulldog Evan Williams was also drafted by the Green Bay Packers. Chris, no, I'm fine you. I know you. We don't bring up that name here. I thought it was good for Evan. Now it's time Fresno State gets compensated for all the time and effort that we did to develop all those guys. So, but good for Evan. I'm all for former guys. I say those things. I'm a fan of the guys. I support them. The guys that leave, I want them to do well. Other than that, I don't think there's much to be said about Fresno State and the draft. Saints drafted Spencer Rattler, who's, I don't know, is he coming after Derek Carr's position? Probably not. No. But
is he coming after Jake's position?
Yeah. So that was my first thought. I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah, that was my first thought too. Was like, uh-oh, like Jake's going to have to prove it. And especially with some of the, you know, initial trouble in the beginning of the season for Jake last year, he's going to need to be on his A game. But thankfully, I'm sure Derek is going to be advocating for him and helping him along the way. But I'm sure Derek's also going to be super helpful to Spencer Rattler. So it's just going to come down to performance, I would guess.
Yeah. He's a fighter. He'll fight. I don't know. It's on my mind, Caleb. I'll bring it up. I laughed so hard when the Falcons drafted Michael Penix Jr. Love Michael Penix Jr. He was my number one quarterback on that board. He's my favorite. But after what the Falcons did with Kirk Cousins, why do you do that? I don't know. I thought it was funny. And I'll take a Brock Bowers, though. Go Raiders, baby.
Yeah, hopefully it's a turnaround for your Raiders. And I don't know. Maybe they're just planning on Cousins getting hurt towards the end of the year and having Penix ready. You know, Cousins is getting older, but Penix is also pretty old. He's like 24 already, so it's not like he's young, and he's also injury prone. So yeah, kind of head scratcher there, but we'll see in a couple of years who was right on that pick.
Hey, you know, the Raiders, they went safest pick. Brock Bowers is a hit, and also he was on a team full of guys that like to drive fast, get DUIs. Who's one that didn't? And he's joining another team that goes to jail. These players go to jail a lot. Safe pick. Our picks aren't going to jail anymore. Changing the culture. Come on.
Surprising. Raiders going for the character pick.
Oh, man. All right, dude. Anything else? I went through our timeline or our outline, I should say. There's nothing else on my outline. Anything else that you have written down that you want to get to?
I think we just about covered it. I think maybe next week we can take a deeper dive into like position groups for maybe spring outlook. And once the transfer portal window is closed for guys exiting, you know, we'll have a better feel for potential position groups for next year. But yeah, big week overall for Fresno State Athletics, and still some more to go for spring sports wrapping up. Big weekends for bat and ball sports and water polo. So yeah, exciting time to be a Bulldog fan.
I'm pumped, man. It's going to be fun. Mountain West Mountain West Conference Championships for bat and ball. Water polo is going to be for a national championship right now. Spring football. Oh, it's great. Bulldogs Bob, Raiders, my fellow Raiders fan. Let's go. He says, as long as Bolka is in charge, I don't think we'll win anything. I agree. That's the character change. That's where the character change is needed. I'll put it. Let's say we'll end that with that. You want high character? Fresno State boys. That's where it's at.
That's right.
All right, guys. Well, thank you again. We always love interacting with you guys, and thank you for joining. Appreciate your support. We'll be back next Monday, 7 p.m. Goal for this week. You got to convert one person into a Fresno State football like supporter. Like they will say they're a fan, but are they a supporter? Are they going to baseball games, softball games? Are they doing better than Caleb and I making it out to the spring preview? We're going to convert some people. So that's the goal for this week. Maybe the month of May we'll do that. The month of May, convert someone into a Fresno State Bulldog supporter. All right, guys, stay safe, stay healthy. God bless. And as always, go Dawgs.
Go Dawgs.